The following is a special message from Alan Wright Ministries. What we need right now is hope. Because of that, here at Sharing the Light, we've chosen to bring out one of our most requested vintage series, I Hope So, from Pastor Alan Wright.
But hope will never put you to shame. Hope will be an enduring awareness that though I may not have every blessing yet manifested in my life, though I may not have everything that I see that some other people have, I have the inward confidence of who I am in Christ, and that will never disappoint you.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light, a program of healing and hope, sharing the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Daniel Britt, eager for you to hear Alan's message in a series called I Hope So, taken from the pulpit at Renolda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. If you want to know more about I Hope So, listen up next here on Sharing the Light. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. And stay with us at the end of today's broadcast for a special offer to help you in your spiritual life. Here now with today's teaching is Alan Wright.
We try as best we can in those earthly relationships to have, in as much as is possible with us, to live in peace. But the peace of which the Scripture speaks in our relationship with God is categorically different, and it passes understanding. This peace is rooted in something that has happened in Christ on the cross. The cross has made for our peace. How? Because in Christ, God forgives our sin so completely that it is as far away from us as the east is from the west. And God does not recall, bring it back up. The problem in our relationships is that we can reach peace treaties, we can settle lawsuits, and we can have healing from our arguments with our spouses. But the fact is, you said what you said, and it plagues us, and the devil uses it as a blemish on our conscience. And so we're still a little bit uncomfortable. I still am a little bit careful what I say now, because I don't want to damage the peace treaty that we have. If you've been at a sustained, difficult conflict and you come close to its resolution, you're careful. You don't want to say something that might open that wound back up and injure it again and then lose that peace. But the peace that you have in Jesus Christ is a peace with God that has no condition by which the fellowship that you now in reality share with Him will ever be interrupted. There is no means by which one who is saved and redeemed in Jesus Christ will ever be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is peace. That is peace with God. And the peace of God that has ended all of our conflict with God proves to my soul that God is no longer angry and dissatisfied with me, but that it has been in Christ completely fulfilled, and I stand in that grace. So Paul says at verse 2, through whom we gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. The grace by which you are redeemed through the cross of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for you is not just grace for your moments of salvation. It is grace for living. As surely as you are saved by the final sufficient work of Jesus Christ on the cross and not by your own works, So is it that you grow and are sanctified by the grace of God. The means by which you will withstand the fiery trials of life, the means by which you will grow, and the means by which you will fulfill your destiny will be the grace in which you stand. Never step out of the grace back up underneath a law that cannot empower you to succeed. And we rejoice, he says, in the hope of the glory of God. The rejoicing of our hope is in a glorious understanding and indeed encounter with a God of glory who has brought us into a kingdom of light and glory. When you are ushered out of the kingdom of darkness, as Colossians describes it, and brought into the kingdom of his beloved Son, you are no longer the same. The best picture I know of this in literature is C.S. Lewis's brilliant Chronicles of Narnia, in which four children are magically transported to a kingdom called Narnia. And there in Narnia, though they suffer various trials and angst, they are dubbed kings and queens, and they rule in Narnia. They have been given gifts to use in their leadership in Narnia, and they come to understand themselves as royalty. But they are also, at the end of each tale, escorted back into ordinary, mundane life in England, where no one knows that they are kings and queens. Therein is the predicament of life. We are princes and princesses of the Most High God, and we live and reign in the kingdom of his beloved Son. We're royalty. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. They just don't know that down at the office. And it's very difficult to convince people that have never been to Narnia that Narnia is even real. Much less that you're a king or a queen there. So we got to come and assemble and never neglect assembling together, saints, because we remind each other, I know who you are. You are a king, a queen, a prince, a princess. And we tell each other the gospel and we remember who we are so that when the world tells us that we are nothing, we have hope.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Remember how you felt as a kid the day before Christmas? Empty stockings hanging by the fireplace just waiting to be filled, colorful packages just waiting to be ripped open. It's a wonderful feeling when you're certain that something good is coming. And there's a word for that posture of heart, hope. Biblical hope isn't about pie-in-the-sky dreams. It's about certainty of a blessed future. If a child says, I hope I get a pony for Christmas, that's wishful thinking. But if a child says, I don't know what I'm going to get for Christmas, but I know it's going to be good, that is hope. If you're ready for fresh hope, join Pastor Alan Wright for an amazing exploration of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's a 12-message CD album called I Hope So. You'll delve deep into the waters of grace, where you'll discover why the law cannot save, heal, or deliver. You'll discover how hope can set you free and make you alive on the inside. It's Pastor Alan Wright's CD album, I Hope So. Maybe it's time for you to feel like a kid at Christmas again.
For your donation to Sharing the Light right now, we'll send you a copy as our thank you gift from Sharing the Light Ministries. Ask for it when you contact us. Our toll-free number is 877-LIGHT-60. That's 877-LIGHT-60. Or online at sharingthelight.org. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
The hope that we live in is a mystery to those who have no hope because it is an invisible kingdom of great glory that we're rejoicing in, even though others can't see it. You can be in London and yet rejoicing in Narnia and knowing that the reality of who you are in Narnia transcends the reality of the way people perceive you in England. So we can rejoice because of the glory of God that we know to be real and that one day we will enjoy perfectly and without the constraints of the world. And we rejoice also, Paul says, verse 3, in our sufferings, because the suffering produces endurance. Here is the process by which hope is strengthened and indeed born in our lives. There is a knowledge of our justification through faith. There is an awareness and revelation that we're right with God, and so we have peace with God. And we have encountered, by the deposit of the Holy Spirit within us, a glorious inheritance that is ours, though it may not all be manifested right now. The foundation by which we can rejoice, and we know all differences according to the New Testament definition of this word. It is when life puts various constraints or even heavy weights against you and forces of resistance against you. And it is by enduring these things that you develop character and hope. So suffering is the means by which we endure that which once might have defeated us, but will not defeat us now. Anyone who's ever had to go through a time of infirmity or has suffered from calamity and you have been bedridden, or you realize how quickly muscles atrophy, that the process by which muscle is strengthened is by the exertion of pressure against the muscle. And so if you lift weights, you are, as best I understand it, there is, in a sense, there is an initial a strain that is causing the breaking down of the muscle. And yet when it is repaired, it is God's process in this that He's designed in the body that when it repairs, it actually grows and is therefore stronger. And so you don't exercise the same muscles every day because there has to be another day in between for the regenerative process by which the muscle gets built. And this is the way of the Spirit. When you endure the pressures of life and you have the exertion against it and it is pressing against you, there is a sense in which it is painful and it is stretching and it does hurt. But in the same way that the weightlifter has maybe some hurt with the strain against the muscles, but does not despair at the hurt because there is a profound purpose of the rebuilding and building up of the muscle that's going on, so it is for the Christian. We grieve, but not as the world grieves. We do not grieve as those who have no hope. So when we experience difficulties, we may groan and travail against it and in the midst of it. And our groaning does not mean that we're giving up, and it doesn't mean that we're despairing. Despair is manifested by giving up. So when we weep by the tomb, it's not our despair that's weeping, it's our grief that's weeping. But when we have no hope, we not only weep, but we give up and we see no future. And so what happens, Paul says, is that the Christian, when you get this revelation and you understand it, there is steel that's being built into your spirit by the things that you are enduring.
So God can use a recession. He can strip away our idolatry, and He can also allow the pressures of life for every Christian who would receive this revelation to endure up underneath it, discovering the reality of the grace of God, and through it, become strengthened on the inside. And so Paul, who suffered way more than anybody I know who's ever suffered, he rejoiced in the suffering because of what good was coming. The endurance underneath the weight of it then produces character. The word for persevere or endure literally means to remain under. While you're under something, to remain. Isn't it interesting that the primary connection of endurance is to the quality we call character? And that character, therefore, is most directly defined in the Scripture as the capacity to endure, to persevere, to wait, to not give up. Character. And that character, Paul says, produces hope. If you want to understand the genesis of hope, it is this process. People that are justified and know that they have right standing with God now stand in a grace that is accompanied by a glorious kingdom, so that when suffering comes, we see it not as something that's fun. I'm telling you, I don't like getting the decorations out of the attic. But in hope of that which is coming, those that suffer well by enduring through it, they develop a character that now has a foundation of their soul that lives in anticipation of the next good thing. And that character becomes a wellspring of hope. So it is good to pray the Lord will give us hope. It's good to lay hands on someone and pray for the restoration of hope. But the real process of hope is through the development of character that makes an anchor in our soul and becomes the producer of hope day in and day out. It is, in other words, the person who has found that God's word is true, and that as I wait on the Lord, He will renew my strength, and I'll mount up with wings as an eagle. And therefore, though I now go through this difficult time, I will not despair, because the grace of God still sustains me in the midst of it. And I know that I belong to Him. And even if this world never offers me one good thing, I have already been established for all eternity as royalty in His sight, and there's nothing that will ever interrupt the fullness of the fellowship that I have with Him. That's who I am, and therefore I will not give up when difficult things come, because I'm anchored in this hope. And hope, verse 5, does not disappoint us, and I think the more literal rendering is better. Hope does not put us to shame. Everything of hell will in the end, though it allured you and tantalized you and made you think that this was the answer, once you've laid hold of it and then found it to be empty, hell will put you to shame. But hope will never put you to shame. Hope will be an enduring awareness that though I may not have every blessing yet manifested in my life, though I may not have everything that I see that some other people have, I have the inward confidence of who I am in Christ, and that will never disappoint you. Isn't it good to think of there's something in your life that will never disappoint you? People will disappoint you. Organizations will disappoint you. And the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that you weren't supposed to have will disappoint you. I promise you. But hope will never put you to shame. Because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. So the deposit of the love of God through the Holy Spirit has assured me it's real. I'm His. He's given me every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's not wishful thinking. That's real hope. That's why when you say you think Jesus is coming back, and I say, I hope so, I don't mean He might or He might not. What I mean is I so root my life in the hope of the glory of God that we might as well live every minute, whether it's a happy time or a sad time, an easy time or a difficult time, we might as well let hope be our anchor.
Alan Wright, you're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching, Rejoicing in Hope.
Remember how you felt as a kid the day before Christmas? Empty stockings hanging by the fireplace just waiting to be filled, colorful packages just waiting to be ripped open. It's a wonderful feeling when you're certain that something good is coming. And there's a word for that posture of heart, hope. Biblical hope isn't about pie-in-the-sky dreams. It's about certainty of a blessed future. If a child says, I hope I get a pony for Christmas, that's wishful thinking. But if a child says, I don't know what I'm going to get for Christmas, but I know it's going to be good, that is hope. If you're ready for fresh hope, join Pastor Alan Wright for an amazing exploration of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's a 12-message CD album called I Hope So. You'll delve deep into the waters of grace, where you'll discover why the law cannot save, heal, or deliver. You'll discover how hope can set you free and make you alive on the inside. It's Pastor Alan Wright's CD album, I Hope So. Maybe it's time for you to feel like a kid at Christmas again. Call us at 877-544-4860 or come to our website, sharingthelight.org.
Alan, for the Christian who's been a Christian for a while and they understand hope in one sense of a maybe, of, well, this might happen, and yet they've been let down, they've been discouraged, and they're at a place right now of honestly feeling hopeless, even though they know they should feel hope. What would you say to that person?
Well, the beautiful thing about our hope as Christians, and the reason that Paul says we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, is that hope is not wishful thinking. It's not a maybe. It's not pie in the sky. It is instead an internal attitude that is generated by the certainty of all the good that is in store for us. And so this is why meditating upon the gospel with all of its assurances and all the reassurances of the glory that awaits us transforms how we feel and how we think today. So if you're feeling hopeless, the beginning point is to turn your attention to the things that you are sure of. And this starts with the hope of the glory of God.
We're always encouraged to hear from you, whether you visit online at sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Again, sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional in your inbox each morning when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright. a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.